Hello, and welcome back to another episode of CC Natters. Over the last few weeks, we have been looking into the father's heart. This episode, we want to dive into the love of the father, asking the question, do we really believe God loves us? You know, when we say God loves you, do we really believe? Or do we just stay in the realm of, I know God loves me, but there's something in us that just still, you know,
doesn't accept the totality of it.
And the reason we're asking the question is because we recognize how important having confidence in our answer impacts how we not just view the Father, but how we view ourselves and how we view others.
It's an interesting subject. I mean, you know, when we think about the love of God, I think that it's easy for us to accept it on a surface level because it's information that has always been dispersed to us. Jesus loves you. God loves you. You hear it very early that, you know, you're loved by God. But as you grow up, somehow there's an introduction into how much he can love you and what you can do that can separate you from this love. And then I think this is where we start to struggle with understanding and fully receiving and accepting the unconditional love of God, because somehow the institution has introduced condition into the love of God. Welcome to CC Natters, where we challenge the norms and break free from the walls of religion. Because as Christ's cities, we're called to stand out like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden.
My name is Aliela.
And I am Mo.
Yeah,
let's start the conversation.
Just kind of hearing you, something kind of comes to mind. There is this concept that probably has foiled this thinking. And it's the fact that God loves you, but he doesn't love sin in you. Do you get what I mean?
It's generally said that God hates sin.
Go on.
I like something you said one time when I told you that, you know, that God hates divorce. We're talking about it. This is off tangent, you know.
Yeah.
And you said something that really struck a chord with me. I'm still trying to unpack that. But, you know, you said that it's impossible for God to hate because God is love. And that those two cannot cohabit in him.
Yeah.
But then I asked the question, that where did we learn how to hate? Where did hate come from? Where, how did the subject of hate ever show up if the creator, the source of everything cannot do that?
Cannot hate.
You know,
I really love what you just said. And I think that that's a good place to build our conversation today from. Okay. Because the conversation about God loving us is not just about God expressing love towards us. The entirety of God is love. In love, there is no hate. Just like in light, there is no darkness. You know,
so where does it come from?
I think the way human beings over time have tried to express and explain God has led into, you know, some understanding our human experiences that we associate with God, right? So what I'm trying to say is that
we attribute what we know to God.
What we go through in our experiences to God. And that could have been a limitation that was caused by how blind we were to the true knowledge of who God is. Knowledge of who God is not something that we should go, oh, but we could have known him, you know, from the start.
Yeah.
But the beauty is that the story we are reading is the discovery of God, right? So it's not necessarily, oh, we should have known him from the start, but you know what I mean? It's what makes it a good story. So we can't dwell in, you know, how we failed in the past or how we're probably failing now, but we can be in the confidence of what the future is, because we know that in the future, we will all come into the discovery of God. Does that make sense? So yeah, so going back to, you know, why we probably struggle to receive the fullness of God's love, we talked about, you know, this concept of God loves me, but he hates sin in me. God loves me, but when I do something, he gets angry at that thing. God loves the sinner. But once you're no longer a sinner, right? So he loves the sinner unconditionally. Once you're no longer a sinner, you are a part of God's family. So there is a responsibility that is on you.
Yeah, to stop sinning.
To stop sinning. So God doesn't appreciate that you want to say that you belong to him, but you continue to sin.
Yeah.
And then you see all of this later through the Bible.
Yeah.
And so it leaves us where we are unsure, one, about the fullness of who God is. And many, over many years, I've struggled with, how can such a loving God still bear so much hate and anger? Because you read it too, you're like, yeah,
don't be angry. Even in the Psalms, you see how David talks about, you know, don't be angry.
Exactly.
You will not be angry at me forever.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah.
Yeah, but what I love is this. If we're not stuck in what we read in the scriptures,
right,
and actually fully embrace who Christ presented to us,
okay,
I mean the Father that Christ presented to us, we will be able to really open up to how the Holy Spirit teaches us about the love of God.
Because, I think, yeah, the only thing that occurs to me when we think about how to embrace Jesus. Again, you know, there's that limitation that a believer today might feel like, I wasn't there when Jesus walked in. I can only rely on what he was like. You know, the picture of the Father that he gave is what we read in the apostles, and we can only almost rely on that. But then again, those are tainted with human experiences.
Exactly.
And as much as you want to lean in completely on the Holy Spirit's teaching and counseling in this angle, again, we come back to the limitation that we face, thinking that I want to be sure that what I'm perceiving is the Holy Spirit leading, is the Holy Spirit, and not just me in my human nature being human. Because, you know, we know that they've written in the scriptures that the heart of man is desperately wicked. So there's that thinking in the back of mind that it is natural default for man
to be wicked.
So you don't want to think that I'm self-serving when I start to lean on the Holy Spirit in my understanding of Jesus. Because if I say that, you know, I've come to receive Jesus's love and I'm still acting in certain ways, I feel like, you know, as a believer, I start to feel like, am I sure that I'm not making him look bad? And am I sure that I'm not making my understanding of the scriptures and the Holy Spirit to suit me? So these are the things that cause our vision
I love what you're saying. And as I reflect on it, it just makes me really understand how horrible religion has been. Because in everything we talk about most of the time, it's always about earning, pleasing, you know, still there, you know, that kind of relationship with God. You know what I mean? It's always about, am I operating in a way that pleases him? Am I doing well to represent him? Am I, like, God really needs us to represent him. Like, seriously.
Scripture says that we're his ambassadors, we're Christ's ambassadors.
But when you are an ambassador, this is who you are. So just imagine, like, the British Embassy, for instance, in Nigeria. The person who is the ambassador for the British Embassy in Nigeria.
You're
going through Nigerian traffic doesn't mean that you're not British.
Yeah.
You saying wahala deo doesn't mean that you're not British.
Yeah.
Or you having swallow or eating with your hands doesn't mean you're not British. You understand what I'm trying to say? What makes you British is who you are. If the ambassador messes up, that diplomatic right can be
revoked.
This is where God is not man comes in.
Yeah.
Because God's ambassadorship is not something like, oh, when you mess up, I'm going to revoke that. You're no longer my ambassador. It is a bond relationship.
Sealed.
Exactly. It's a bond relationship. So in yourself, when that thing comes that says to you, are you really operating in the love of God? Is a call to go deeper in the love of God. Is a call to realize more what the grace of God is. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not a, oh, you're not qualified or you're not good enough. No, it's actually to know that the goodness of God has been given to you in every way.
There's more to explore.
And then you can allow yourself rest in, you know, enjoying that goodness of God. You know, like, it's the same as when you look at forgiveness. You know, like, you're not, when you call yourself an ambassador of Christ, it means that you literally have the power to forgive. You know what I mean? And so you, it means you go around and you can actually bring forgiveness, but you have to be able to rest in the fullness of who God is and how he's fully embraced you. For you to be able to come into that position to go, all of me is all of God.
I really like what you said about forgiveness, where you said that if Jesus could forgive, we can forgive as well. And when I was just thinking, just in that split second where you said it, I thought about the power of healing that comes in forgiveness and why when we forgive, it's actually dispersing healing. You know, when Jesus, when he healed the paralytic that came through the roof, and the Pharisees said, oh, how dare you say, how dare you tell him to get up and walk? He said, oh, would it have been better if I told him, I forgive you your sins? And it just made me think that forgiveness and healing are, so to speak, one and of the same. So when we, if all of me is all of Jesus, so when I extend this hand of forgiveness to that person in church that hurt me, or to my family member, or to that person who's closest and dearest, I'm actually extending healing.
Yeah.
The nature of God.
I think just as you're saying, I think there is something in every of our conversation that brings, you know, to the core of the nature of God. You know, like last week when we were talking about grace, it's the very nature of God. It's who God is. You know, when we talk about love, it's who God is. So when we come into the fullness of who God is, that's what it means when we say we've come into the fullness of love.
When we attain that fullness whilst we're on this side of eternity, is it possible? Would you say?
I believe when we come into the fullness of the belief that God actually truly loves us, it will become our experience. We will see ourselves experience not just, you know, God loving us, but God loving others through us. Do you get it? Because when God takes your entire being, it means that God dwells in you and he finds expression through you. So when you're doing something to other people, it is God loving other people through you. When you do you get what I mean?
And it's making me think, you know, my mind travels a lot. Just while you're saying that, like, the fullness of God dwells within, and how when Jesus came, he tried to make us aware that the reason why he is God is because God fully dwelt in him. And it was difficult for any human being to be able to understand the concept of that. You as a human being. How can you carry all of God inside of you? And when you carry all of God inside of you, in this frailty, how are you able to operate as God? And what Jesus was trying to say is that when you come into this marvelous life, this kingdom, when you're born into this life, then automatically you become me. I am you. Jesus is saying, I am you, you are me. And so
you are one with the
Father. You are God.
Exactly.
Oh my God. I think where I would struggle, and I don't know if anybody else can identify me who's listening, where I would struggle is that I know my frailty. I know my errors. I know how I let myself down.
I know.
How? And then can I embrace God's totality and love when I know that even sometimes I feel I'm not, even I feel I'm not worthy.
You know, I love the word Jesus said was, you should cast all your burdens and cares on him, because he cares for you. It says, if you've got like a heavy burden, he said, give it to me. We know ourselves, and sometimes we dwell in ourselves, but God is saying, dwell in me. He's saying that, you know, don't know yourself, know me.
Right.
Because as you behold me as in a mirror, you're transformed into my very image. don't know your weakness. Know who I am. Because when you know, it's like when you know God, like, just think about it. It's like his life permeating every part of you. Mm. There are parts of you that are just waiting to experience the life of God.
Mm.
You know, it's not just, you know, like your idea of who a good human being is. It's the understanding of where the fruit comes in. You know, it's like that fruit is there for the nations, for anyone that needs it to be able to have it from you.
Mm.
Do you get what I mean?
Mm.
That people can experience love, they can experience kindness, they can experience joy, they can experience, you know, long suffering, they can experience whatever it is that they come into.
Mm.
And when you're talking about long suffering, you know, people always think that, oh, that's like you're suffering.
Mm-hmm.
No,
actually, that's what the word says.
It's actually the, we know that the essence of the long suffering of God is to bring us to repentance, is to bring us to the point of reconciliation. It's like when you have a plan,
God will stay with you.
Exactly.
God will continue to prune you.
Exactly.
He's not going to leave you. He's going to stay there until you're the goal he wants.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like how you water your plant every day. Mm. How you
prescribe to it. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. So long suffering is not the foolishness of somebody just, you know, trodding on you. No. I think that there needs to be a deep reflection.
Mm.
You know, I know Christmas is around the corner.
Yeah.
And people will ask you, who do you celebrate? You go, oh, we celebrate Jesus, the gift of God to us.
Yeah.
And then we go to John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. And then somehow the way we read that and the way we've interpreted scriptures, it feels like God made a U-turn to decide to start loving the world. You know what I mean? Because you read through the Old Testament, it's like, oh, I am, you know, but you forget that when Moses was saying to God, I want to see your face, you know, and all the brimstone and the thunder and everything. No, it was in the stillness of the voice.
Yeah.
And God said, I will cause my tender mercies to walk ahead of you.
Mm.
You know, he was saying, you will know my kindness.
Yeah.
Like, that's who God is. He's full of tender mercies. He's full of kindness. So when Jesus says, for God so loved the world, it's not like, oh, now God had other things he could do with the world, but the love part of him is what brings Jesus.
Mm.
It's actually the fullness of God being filled with love. Because that's all he has.
Mm.
We see that replicated in Jesus when he washed the feet of the disciples, and Jesus being filled with love for his people.
Mm.
You know, so that exactly is it. We cannot really come to a place where we embrace the fullness of God's love until we know that there is nothing else in God but love.
Mm.
The question then is, we then ask, who then did we meet before Jesus? Because that really is the problem.
Mm.
Who are the conversations that we saw in, you know, the Old Testament that presented an insecure God? Insecure in the sense that the people were trying to build a tower to come to him and it's like, oh, scatter their language.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I mean?
Mm.
Who is this person that, you know, when David sinned and David, Nathan came and said, oh yeah, you're still going to suffer, you know, and David told himself, and I said, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
I like to think we can get stuck in trying to find who it is,
mm-hmm.
or we can move away from it and say, oh, good radiance. Thank God we can now know the truth.
Mm.
Because who that was is not the truth about God.
Mm.
And it's hard to...
So that's going to... You see, I think because it's in the scriptures and because it's so detailed, I see what you're saying and I get it. But I think that we as Christians and believers believe that those were put there for guidance, for instructing us. And I also see the picture that you're painting, but that what we saw before is a shadow that we couldn't see clearly. So Jesus came to give us clarity on who the Father is.
Yeah.
And I think that when we say to fellow believers like us that, you know, we need to do away with the shadow, it almost makes you feel as if you, it's almost like you're asking for a breaking away of something that is still at its core, they believe, God.
Yeah.
So they question that. And they're like, how can you, like we said about the Pharisees and Sadducees some episodes ago, a couple ago, how can you just come and tell me after I've kept all these precepts, 600 what of them, and then just come and tell me, do you know what? All you are required to do is to love God and to love your neighbor. And you're summing it up in that.
Mm.
I'm sorry, but I'm not sure I get you, and I don't know where you're coming from, but there's something dodgy or fishy about you. So it's the same way we as believers now. And I wanted to say that when you were saying we need to know, because a lot of times we think our knowing is in the scripture, in the attending church, because of the sermons that we'll hear there. But, you know, I want to boldly carefully state that I think what you're trying to bring up from there is that the knowing is only by the Holy Spirit. And so because that is not influenced by any human experience, that is not influenced by, you know, the scriptures are Holy Spirit breathed, but there is the human element, because whilst they saw what they saw, whilst they were being inspired by what they saw, they had to put it down with their creative understanding, what they thought, and their limited language. Again, we have to understand that there's, you know, there's the problem that can come from translation for what might have been used for what over the years, and we get stuck in all those things. So I think what might be profitable for us to say at this conjunction, I don't know if we can really, really move away from the God of the Old Testament. I think it's one and the same.
Yeah.
However, we get clarity, we get full understanding by the Holy Spirit in the person of Jesus. So it's a journey. It's a lot of unlearning.
Do you know what? I don't want to interrupt your thoughts.
No, I'm actually stuck there.
I really love what you're saying, because what you're saying brings me to a very close conversation, which is how we deal with one another. You know, God said in Christ, we were reconciled to God. I think it was Paul that said that in Corinthians. And then he says, now go ahead and be reconciled with one another. He said that.
Yeah.
I think we should also know that there is something about God, because God is spirit, right? The expression of God in the way people will kind of say it is through human expressions.
Yeah.
Right. So if because Jesus said it to us, the truth about God is spirit. So it means that if you see rain, God is not rain.
No.
If you see thunder, God is not thunder.
Yeah.
If you see fire, God is not fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God is
spirit.
And when Jesus was going to say, he says, the spirit, the way it works is like the wind. It blows. You don't see the wind, but you see the effects
of it.
And I think what we have in the Old Testament are people's expression of the false, you know, you have to understand that there's a falsehood in the knowledge. And so in the way they expressed God as well, there was a falsehood in that expression.
Yeah.
It's
deductible. Yeah. You can deduce that.
The reason I'm not only deducing it is also because I know that for us to establish the kingdom now, we have to, is going to be a function of the expression of the God we've embraced. It's how it works. God is spirit. His spirit fills you, and then it works through you. And I love what Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will reveal to you the truth about me.
Yeah.
He will reveal to you the truth about me. It's not that he will only reveal to you who I am, because there is a conversation here about a lie and a truth.
Wow. Right. Yeah. Wow.
You know, Jesus, when he was speaking to the Pharisees.
Nicely done.
When Jesus was speaking to Pharisees, he says, your father, the devil, has been a liar from the beginning. And he said, God, which is, who is truth, is the one who has sent me. If you recognize him, then you will hear what I am saying.
But the reason
you're struggling with what I am saying is because you're probably not his.
Wow.
We need to understand that there is a conversation, which is where we'll bring us to, what is the importance of the testament then? The Old Testament and the New Testament.
Mm.
We talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
They speak of the suffering of Christ and the glory to follow. The scriptures were not to tell us this is who God is. Rather, they were pointing to when God is revealed, you know, this is what you look up for, you know. So that means you could go through the scriptures and you'll see the suffering of Christ prophesied. You can see his betrayal prophesied. You can see, you know, but everything that the scriptures kind of speak to are fulfilled in Christ. And there is then something that happens afterwards, which I think a lot of us have not fully come into. It's this understanding of, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And hear ye him sometimes sounds like hear him and maybe other ideas that people gave you or other things that other people say or other things that other people have said. But actually the Transfiguration Mount, that experience says something totally different. Because when Moses and Elijah, when they appeared on that mount, the conversation is that they disappeared and all that was left was Jesus. And God then restated, this is my beloved son in whom I'm always, only him shall you hear. So there is something about the transition from, you know, whatever other things you've heard to the conversation is what he is saying to you now. And I love that Jesus also said, there are many things I want to say to you, but I'm not able to say them to you now. But don't worry, when the Spirit of Truth comes, the Holy Spirit, I love that he says the Spirit of Truth, taking us back to God is truth. Because it could have been when the Spirit of God comes or when the Spirit of love comes. But there is something that he wants you to know about the communication of the Holy Spirit being the truth about God. It says when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth.
You know what I really like about what you've just kind of illuminated? I like that you said something that has made me look at the Holy Spirit differently. Said the Holy Spirit will come and guide you into all truth, which suggests that there could be a lie in what we've been taught, in what we may have read, or even experienced. So without the Holy Spirit, we cannot actually get the truth of our relationship with God the Father. We can only come into the understanding of how God operates. When, and this is not to to disrepute any teachings anyone's heard on the pulpit or via conversations like myself and Ilya having right now, but more to highlight the importance of us understanding the gift of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of it. Yeah, because a lot of times the Holy Spirit, we as Christians, we tend to think of the Holy Spirit you can perform miracles. Then you can speak in other tongues. We don't understand that actually the Holy Spirit is our decipher. You realize, oh, hang on. Okay. Yeah, the Holy Spirit comes to help me, to counsel me, but also I can only get the facts of the matter, of the heavenly matter, through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I can only know the truth about God through the Holy Spirit. And you know how I love that we highlight the Holy Spirit about, you know, how the Holy Spirit is a gift. I think there's a, you know, just as we talk about embracing the fullness of the love of God, there's something also about embracing the Holy Spirit that brings us to a place that the Holy Spirit is the promise of God to us. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's so easy when we think about the blood of Jesus and we think about the communion, for instance, and he says that this is my body, and then he says this is the blood of my new covenant.
Yeah.
And we think about the body of Jesus, and we think about the blood of Jesus. But I think that we forget. There is something in our nature that is forgetting that the Holy Spirit is the promise of God to us.
Mm-hmm. We don't remind ourselves enough.
And maybe it's because we've not really come into the fullness of, you know, us receiving the love of God, mm-hmm. which is now us receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Because we can't even know our sonship. Exactly. Because even the word says that only those who are led of the Spirit exactly. are the sonship. So you can't know your sonship. You can't know your role. You cannot know. It's all there in the Holy Spirit.
So not knowing the fullness of the love of God takes us to the reality of not fully embracing the work that the Holy Spirit has come to do.
Yeah.
And then it also takes us to how we see God different. You know, we see God in a lie.
Mm.
And because we see God in a lie, we see ourselves in a lie. Because we also see ourselves in a lie. We see other people in a lie.
Yeah.
We're not able to receive grace, who is God, be full of grace, and then everyone experience grace.
Yeah, some people cannot just be exactly. They cannot be deserving of that grace. Exactly. I know what they're like. That person is a murderer. He cannot have the grace of God.
Mm. But I believe that there is something that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our world, or is doing in our world, and that is really bringing everyone to the fullness of the knowledge of God. And again, you see those assurances littered through the scripture, because, you know, Paul was saying something about the anointing that you have received will teach you, and that anointing, and he was basically quoting what Jeremiah said, mm-hmm. quoting what Ezekiel said, like I said, reminding us, I said the function of the Old Testament, reminding us of this is who has come, you know, just as it was prophesied. And this is what we have received, just as it was prophesied. Mm-hmm. You know, Peter said it when the Holy Spirit came up and said, oh, guys, they are not drunk at all. This is what Joel talked about. Mm-hmm. In the last days, I will pour. You know, there is something about the life we are living now, mm-hmm. but we somehow in our life, we are mesmerized by the lives they had.
Mm-hmm.
We are mesmerized by the ideas they had. We are mesmerized by the, you know, like
interpretations
they had, when actually we are the fulfillment of, you know, the scriptures they wrote. Do you get what I mean? And
this is definitely, there's so much more to even touch on this subject, and I love it so much already. I think there's so much to unpack. We need to despook the concepts of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, how even for me, mm-hmm. like how we interpret the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives,
mm.
you know, and then, you know, when we say that, you know, if you have received the Holy Spirit by the evidence of, you know, I'm trying to understand, like, and I've been seeing some things, you know, littered here and there on media that has been kind of, it's been piquing my interest, you know, my interest is so piqued, like when it talks about speaking in tongues and how we may have, you know, we need to demystify these things because it talks about how we may have distorted what it means or the purpose of it. I don't know.
Mm.
And I'm hoping that our conversations can help us.
At some point.
So we need to actually despook the concept of the Holy Spirit, because I think that might be the key to unlock.
That is it.
Because when we come into the fullness of understanding our new person in Christ by the Holy Spirit, I think it makes it easier to receive his love and to disperse his love.
Yeah.
Because then we operate differently. I just feel like we need to fine-tune the way we have been seeing Jesus and what he came to do. Because, you know, when we understand that he just came to make you aware that I am God, God is me, and when you are in me, you
are God. Yeah.
So I think it's beyond him just coming and giving himself for us. I think that it really takes away from what he came to do if we stay at what he did by his dying and his rising.
Yeah.
I think it really takes away from what he came to do, which is to reinstate our personhood in God.
Yeah.
That was the purpose. Yeah. And we're not getting to the destination. We've stayed on the journey, and we've stayed on that journey so long. It doesn't help us to translate, to come into our fullness. Like, yeah. we can't, like we can't take hold of what we ought to do. And then that's why, and I don't know if I'm interpreting the scripture right, but that's why the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God, because we are not in actual fact manifesting. Yes, there are trickles that are coming through in the form of miracles and in the form of revelations and, you know, word of knowledge. And but when we actually come into our personhood, God, like when we come into our personhood in God, then that is when institutions require us to move forward.
I think
governments require us to move forward, because then you come into your place of authority, which it was the initial, that was always the intention, the place of dominion. Because when he said he made us, he said, now, take dominion. Like that was...
Honestly, what you're saying delights my heart. And I think that if people never get to do anything at all, I think people need to come to a position where you question everything and just let the Holy Spirit teach you.
Yeah.
It's like...
We're not encouraged to question, though.
Question everything and let the Holy Spirit... Express your doubts to him and let him help your doubts. Like, God is not insecure with your doubts. It's okay for you to doubt, okay? When you finish doubting, just say, God, help my doubts. And he's going to help your doubts, because he will bring you into what he wants you to be. I love that even from what you said, we come into the fullness of when we fully embrace the work that God has done, we will actually live differently from how we live. The reason we live the way I think there are a lot of things that honestly, as we go on, it will be very hard. But there are a lot of things that we kind of need to revisit. Like, for instance, when you're talking about the gift of the Spirit, seeing it in the word of knowledge, seeing all of those things, those are all things that happen in the church. We need to come back to the conversation of what is the church? Why do we have the church? What is the role of the church? When you say the church is the body of Christ, what does that even mean when you say the church is the body of Christ? Because sometimes some people, when they think about the body of Christ, because look at it, if we're saying everyone was reconciled to him,
yeah,
is everyone the church? Or is it a group of people that have already identified with him that are the church? When the Bible says, when Peter says that, be like Jesus who continues to wash the church, is he washing those who have just identified with him as saints? Or is he washing, is he doing the same work that he's doing in the life of you and I, and he's doing in the life of somebody else that probably hasn't come into the knowledge of him? Who is the church? You know, it brings us into a different conversation. I think it was a few episodes ago. I was saying that some of the things that we are saying now, they are only seed for future conversations. It might be generations to come,
right,
that will experience the fullness of this thing. But the joy of it is that truth establishes itself.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm not really worried about, like, the life we're living now, or, you know, how the church is going to be shaken. I'm telling you. Like, it is as if when people start to come into the understanding of the Holy Spirit, they themselves will get the whip and whip everyone out of it and say, this should be a house of prayer. Like, I really see it happening in the future. I really see it. You know, this conversation about prophets, apostles, or this is not the conversation at all. The conversation about who is leading the church, who isn't leading the church, who is the teacher, who is the father, those are not the conversations at all. The conversation is about the reconciliation work that God has done for us. And that reconciliation and what that status means for us. Because that status doesn't only just bring us into our God nature, where we become God men. It also brings God to the fullness of expression on earth.
Yeah. Amen.
And then that's where you and I being reconciled to one another starts to happen.
Yeah.
That's where you and I start to love each other.
Agreement.
You know, I think we can wrap up with this, right? I love something that I've reflected on for many years now. You know, in the scriptures, we saw this place where the somebody had come to Jesus and he said, what's the greatest law?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said that I'll split it into two. Love God with all your heart, with all your might, mm-hmm. you know. And then it says, love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the summary of Moses' mm-hmm. law. I reflected on that because I think that what Jesus, the answer Jesus was giving then was an answer to him with respect of what he knew, which was the law of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that Jesus was trying to give us a law that says love God with all your heart, with all your mind. What he was trying to do was he was saying, this is what the law of Moses was saying to you.
I'll summarize it.
And then he gives it to him.
Yeah.
My deeper reflection, though, is that Jesus actually gave us a new command.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
And that new command, the fullness of it is in the embrace total of God's love. Because he said that you love one another as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, a new command I give to you,
mm-hmm.
that you love one another as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wants us to come into the knowledge of how much
he loves us.
Because it's only in coming to that knowledge
that we can love
one another.
Yeah.
It's only in coming to the knowledge of the reconciliation work that God has done. And who is included in it, that we can reconcile one to another. It's not in our efforts of trying to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our strength. Because God, you know, you can't love God. Huh? You can't. You can't love God. You can't love him.
Mm.
What might strength, what do you have?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have? People, though, that want to take what you have from you, will tell you the reason you have it so that you can give it to him.
Mm.
But it's only because they want to take it from you.
Mm.
That was why the Pharisees and the Sadducees could take advantage of people in the temple.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
Jesus is not about collecting what you have. He's about giving to you the life he has.
Mm. So then we can then say, in summary, that the extent of love that we give is the extent of how much we know God has loved us.
I think people should really reflect on, do I really know how much God loves me?
Do I really believe it?
Do I believe it? Do I believe God loves me? Do I? Yeah. Right. So it's bang on into Christmas season.
We're going to wish you a lovely Christmas.
Yes.
Enjoy the time with your family.
Yes.
We're eager to come back to you with a lot of fresh conversations in the new year.
Yes.
We're going to miss you. Please share, like, subscribe, and please comment.
Yeah.
Comment how you felt about this conversation and what it makes you think.
Yeah.
See you next year.
Thank you.